Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I am Donna Prisgintas.
We're here at KHOI Radio around our kitchen table, and we're talking about this week elderberries, tarragon, and a really fine treat of the week. Donna always makes a really dandy one. This time she's going to tell us about semifreddo. So stick around to learn about semifreddo. First, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the garden. Onions are up and out of the ground. Every year I enjoy tipping onions. It's called tipping them.
Tipping onions.
Tipping, just kind
like,
of.
Is that like tipping cows?
Yeah, almost, almost. Mm-hmm. You pick them
it's
up.
It's an Iowa thing.
Pick
right?
them up and just, well, release the roots and just lay them on the ground for a while. They dry there for a day. Then I put them in
the garden.
Yeah, yeah. I make use of this nice sunny weather. So I tip over my onions for a while.
And what does that accomplish?
You want them to start drying. You want the necks to start drying down. And now that they're done growing, you want things to kind of dry up on the outside so the inside good moist onion is preserved.
So you obviously don't do this on a rainy day.
No, it's probably good you don't do it. So watch the weather, tip your onions, get them out of the ground. Also, keep your okra picked. Keep your zooks picked.
Pick them little.
Yes.
Okra,
yes.
Especially zucchini. We talked about the horrible giant zucchini syndrome. But okra is the same way. When it's young and like finger-sized, it's very tender and wonderful. And when it gets bigger, it gets woody and not so pleasant.
Right. I kind of go thumb size is really good. So I've been picking a lot of those lately, and they do keep coming. For me, when the ones that I have forgotten, and it's easy to miss one or two. If you leave okra on the plant and they just turn into these giant honker things, I let them dry and turn them into Christmas ornaments. I don't know what else to turn them into.
That sounds like a good idea. And if you're not growing them but you're buying them, pick all the little ones out. Those will be the tastiest.
Yes, yes. So enjoy okra. I love okra. And I like
it. It is easy to enjoy. I know it has the ick factor. And people think it's slimy, but get over it, guys. It's delicious.
The slime is one of its charms. There's got to be a better word
than
slime. It's
a texture. It's not a flavor. It has a wonderful flavor.
Yes, it does. It just tastes so green and good for you. So when you've got also, as you're picking beans and okra, I've been putting them in the freezer. It's easy to deal with stuff right out of the garden or right out of the farmer's market. Beans and
like you mean
okra.
Green beans.
And
are you
freezing them?
Mm-hmm. Do you blanch them before you freeze
them?
What do you do?
I take my green beans, get a bunch of them all going in the same direction, and I cut off the stem and I turn them around and cut off the tail. Some I leave as a whole long skinny green bean, and some I chop, and I pour them, put them into some boiling water, blanching.
Quickly dipping into boiling water. How long?
It's hard to keep the water boiling exactly, but about 30 seconds.
Of total immersion.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the color change. It goes from one kind of green to a slightly darker green. Take them out, and I immediately put them in the sink in a strainer. And hit them with cold water. You want to cool them down.
Or you also can have a bowl prepared in the sink with ice floating in it, and you just dump them into that. The idea is to stop the heat in the vegetable as quickly as possible.
Right, because you are kind of shocking the poor little things into being sort of half-cooked, and then you are also stopping the process, cooling them right down. Let that drain. Let it drip, 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 drip for a while. And then put them in freezer bags, and don't forget to label them.
Yeah, well, the biology of freezing is something that you should know about. What happens is when you freeze either meat or vegetables or whatever, the cell wall, the water in the plant breaks down. The cell wall from the water expanding because it's freezing breaks the cell wall, which is what changes the texture slightly when something has been frozen.
So you don't want to put good food right into the freezer. It'll turn into mush.
So I guess that must be why you blanch it.
You blanch it.
Because that probably also breaks the cell wall very quickly in a controlled manner.
In a controlled manner. Anyway.
Okay. And what about okra? How do you freeze okra?
Same way. The same blanching process. Again, I'm looking for my thumb-sized okra. I lay them down. I cut off the little hats off the okra. And the little thumb
side. The hat side is, you mean by the stem side, right?
The stem side.
Uh-huh.
That looks like a little. The other side is pointy. On thumb-size okra.
And you leave the pointy side on.
On thumb-size
okra. It's kind of cute.
I leave the pointy side on. If I have, you can feel, if you have a bigger okra that is pliable anyway, that's all right. Then I cut off the hat, the top side. And then I would probably cut off the stem. If it's a little bigger than your thumb, I would cut off the point.
The tip?
Cut off the tip. And then you can either leave them whole or cut them into small bits.
Yeah, well, but don't bother freezing those woody ones. You'll be really unhappy.
Wisdom from Donald in the Kitchen. Get out there, keep on top of that garden, and put stuff in the freezer. It's good for you. It's good for you. Well, Donna is here with our herb of the week.
Tarragon!
Oh, that was nice. Tarragon. T-A-R-R-A-G-O-N. Tarragon. Have at it, Donna.
Well, first of all, there are multiple kinds of tarragon. The one that is classically referred to as, quote, tarragon, which is the most cookable, is actually French tarragon. It has a finer, thinner leaf and a very distinct flavor. There is Mexican tarragon, which has a much wider leaf. I think it's maybe... It still has a really nice flavor that you use, but when people refer to tarragon in a recipe, they're talking about French tarragon. And that's what we picked. My neighbor has a gigantic tarragon bush, and she said, oh, would you like a little tarragon? And I said, sure. She brought me an armful of tarragon. She was cutting her bush back. Apparently, hers is perennial here.
Some of them to come back, yes.
Hers is doing very well. In the middle of Ames in Old Town. She's growing it.
Yep.
So I had a whole lot of tarragon. And I don't think tarragon dried is worth anything. You know, even if you buy dried tarragon, it loses its essential oil so quickly that I just, it's like putting paper in your food. What's the point, you know? So either try to get it fresh, or there are a few ways to preserve it. And the most basic one, and this is one thing I did, I took rice wine vinegar, which is, I find, fairly flavor neutral. I took a big 2-quart jar. I mean, I had a lot of tarragon. I stuffed the jar with leaves. I poured, what did I put? A pinch of salt, a little bit of black pepper, filled it to the top with the rice wine vinegar, and then I also added a tiny little bit of, I think I used agave so it would dissolve quickly, but you could use sugar. Not too much. I didn't want it, but I just wanted to cut the acidity of the vinegar a tiny bit because tarragon is nicely sweet. So that is sitting in my cupboard for about a month.
I saw that jar sitting there. I've tried tarragon vinegar before, and I've done it like I've seen it in food magazines with this lovely little piece of just laying, just one little sprig in the jar. This jar was stuck full.
Well,
this is a good idea.
What I think I want to do is when I decant it, pour the vinegar off, I may put it in smaller jars with a sprig in it.
Four looks. Yes. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
I have dried tarragon, and I use it. I throw it in things, but then I throw a lot of things in things. So I do dry. Don't let Donna stop you from drying tarragon.
Well, you know, it could be since you're drying your tarragon fresh from the garden, it might have more flavor.
Well, it's true.
Like when I dry my homemade basil.
Oh, right.
It tastes spectacular compared to the stuff that most of us use from the supermarket.
It depends on how much time it has had on the road. It depends on how much time.
Now, the other thing I did with tarragon was I made a tarragon syrup.
Oh, you're good on syrups. Yes.
I did. I took, I think it was a 3/4 cup of sugar. A cup of sugar and 3/4 cup of water. and then you boil it. As soon as it comes to a boil, you plunge a lot of tarragon into the pot. A lot, whatever that is. I had a lot. But just the amount that can be submerged in that amount of liquid. So put the lid on, and I let it sit till it, you know, came to room temperature. Then I strained the whole thing off and put it in a bottle. Now, what we did with it, and Lana tasted this too, we took some of the syrup, we mixed it with soda water, and put just a squirt of fresh lemon in it, and it made a delightful little summer beverage. And the other thing we tried it on was chocolate ice cream. Apparently, tarragon and chocolate go very well.
We found that out.
Yeah. And I would recommend it with we used it on store-bought ice cream, so it came out a bit sweet on sweet. But if I were making, like, the time I made the really dark chocolate ice cream, and I put the tarragon, I would put the tarragon on that. I think that would taste really, really yummy. So tarragon and chocolate. And, of course, tarragon and citrus fruits are really, really wonderful. Like we could try a lemon sorbet and pour a little tarragon syrup over it. But the tarragon will keep quite well in both the vinegar and the syrup.
Good. So there you have it. Two uses for tarragon. So
experiment,
and enjoy it. It's our herb of the week. This last weekend, we had a wonderful experience here in Ames. The Grassroots Radio Conference was here. We met all kinds of lovely radio people. All sorts of good things happened. Ames showed itself proud doing a lot of nice things.
Yeah, we had folks from all over the country mm-hmm. that have been doing community radio. And I think we've probably upped the skill set of KHOI in all departments tremendously. For example, we are now streaming.
Well put.
Yes. Ha. That means you can listen to us on your computer and not just your radio.
How good. How good. See? Everything keeps improving.
Yes, I learned a lot. Because we're getting really modern here.
I learned a lot. Well, as part of this, there was food, of course, connected with this event.
Yeah, we had folks in town for 3 days, mm-hmm. I think. And, of course, we had to feed them and house them and entertain them.
So the whole weekend got off with a Thursday party right out in front of the right out in front of the station here, and it was open to the public. Lots of friends and KHOI supporters came, plus all these nice people from out of town. We had music, and Donna did a great job of cooking for a crowd. That always, I love to cook, but cooking for a large bunch of people is pretty amazing.
We're talking about 150, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. So, what did you make?
Well, here's the secret. When you're thinking about cooking for a crowd, do the absolute simplest thing. Like, that is not the time to pull out your recipe for your most fiddly, lots of handwork kind of recipe. So what we made was meatloaf.
And it was dandy.
Yeah. In fact, we used the Gary Guthrie carrots. If you happen to listen to that radio show, he was aghast that we would put his fine carrots into a meatloaf. But he did show up. He brought the carrots. He tasted. He ate. He approved.
It was a lovely meatloaf.
Yeah. So my meatloaf recipe actually has about a third of vegetables by volume, basically. Mm-hmm. So we used, I think, the Ron and Maria Roseman's ground beef. And I think also their ground pork. They're from Western Iowa. We had Gary's carrots. We had Early Morning Harvest, which is Earl Hafner's polenta grits. Now, I have to say something about Early Morning Harvest. So they're from Panora, Iowa, and they grow some organic grains, and they have their own flour mill and processing there. And these grits, it wasn't corn flour. I used the corn to kind of bind it together. I don't put eggs in my. So usually I use corn. You know, it kind of sucks up all the juices and holds the thing into a loaf. And so I thought, well, let's just use Earl's grits. And I ordered some from Farm to Folk, his kind of larger, not cornmeal, but actually he calls them polenta. And so we put that in. And Lana's onions and garlic. And then I put in a lot of marjoram and some basil, some oregano.
And there was some sort of fancy schmancy pepper.
I used a slightly hot Turkish pepper. That was definitely not local. And salt and pepper. But the main ingredients were all really right here from Iowa.
So you can feed lots of people with local food. Also we had...
Yeah, we mixed up 16 two-pound loaves, okay? It was a mound of meatloaf.
Yes. And you can do that. And the other things that were sourced and were enjoyed by all were sweet corn from Olson Family Farms. And there was marinated.
Delicious.
Oh, the sweet corn. Sweet corn went like proverbial hotcakes.
Well, yeah, because, you know, all these folks, you come to Iowa, you got to give them corn.
Right.
I mean.
And we had some really good chicken legs from Heartland Fresh Family Farm from Donaldson's, Iowa. They're a new producer. And let's see. Oh, and thanks to Ron Latson for standing at the grill and grilling.
Yeah, and wasn't it Party Time that donated all the equipment
thanks
for us to
Party
do
Time
that on?
For all of
We've
the
got some great community
and,
supporters oh, here in Ames.
It was a dandy potluck.
And it didn't rain. The temperature was perfect. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too wet. It was good.
And speaking of feeding lots of people, we're going to take a little music break here. The first tune you're going to hear is called Loaves and Fishes, followed by Too Many Goats. Enjoy. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Radio, community radio for the heart of Iowa. We're talking about what happened this past weekend, the food part of it. There was a lot of wonderful radio stuff that happened this last weekend for the Grassroots Radio Conference. And I mentioned before that Ames did itself proud by making these folks seem welcome to the place because we had a wonderful KHOI potluck on Thursday evening, Friday evening. Just by a wonderful coincidence, there was an event in front on Douglas Avenue called Foodies and Brew, put on by the Ames Downtown organization.
Right, so Lana is going to do a review of this event for you.
Oh, it drizzled a little bit, but being prepared, being Johnny on the spot, these fine folks had put up a fine tent over everything, and we were dry and warm and welcomed.
And I heard the beers were fantastic.
Yes, I tried my best to try a lot of different beers.
That's work, Lana.
Yeah, I know. I tried. So this is Lana's review of the Foodies and Brew. Thanks to all those fine people that gave out samples. It was wonderful.
Do you think this is going to be an annual event?
I don't know. We should ask. It certainly should.
Sounds like we should encourage them.
People really enjoyed it. So the breweries that were showing their wares were Back Pocket Brewery, Exile Brewery, Goose Island, Millstream Brewing Company, Schlafly Brewing, Summit, Tall Grass Brewing Company, and West O.
That sounds like a lot of beer, Lana. I don't know how you can remember what you did.
I did not drink all of them. All I can say is my favorite of the whole thing, and get ready for this, my favorite of the whole thing was called Buffalo Sweat.
Buffalo Sweat.
It was a lovely,
lovely.
Was it
light or dark?
Very, very dark.
Ooh, I bet we could have made a beer float out of it.
We probably could have. That was my favorite. But there was a lot of really nice paler things and wheat beers. And Hefeweizens, the Gold Coin and the Slingshot from Back Pocket Brewery were good too. But the Buffalo Sweat. I just love the name? I don't. But I like a dark beer, so that was my.
What kind of ice cream would you have put in it?
Oh, for goodness sakes! I think just plain vanilla.
Ooh.
Because it was quite beery, stouty. Had a wonderful taste of the. I never thought I'd be answering that question. I've never had a beer float before. This woman got me into
it's
this.
Been our summer favorite so far. The not root beer float; those are fine too. But beer floats. In case you missed our last program, we did a chocolate stout with a chocolate ice cream, and I call it the simplest dessert of the summer. That is, you get the most bang for your buck out of it.
It was very nice.
Pour the beer into a glass, let it get a little foam, you drop the ice cream in, pazingo.
Yes, very, very good. And the food was lovely. Everyone was raving, and I didn't eat all of this stuff because I was absolutely stuffed.
You were busy with the beer.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I didn't eat all of it. Everyone was raving about braised short ribs with summer vegetables and black truffle from an organization called Chef Kevin Terrell and Those Guys. Everyone was talking about that. There was also pork belly sliders from Aunt Maud's, shrimp ceviche from the cafe. I like that. It went well with the beer, folks. It went well with the beer. Cupcake Emporium was there with lovely things. Bangers and Mash from Dublin Bay. D'Angelo's had a stuffed roasted red pepper. Wallabies had ribs. Oh, the ribs. Ribs were good. And Whiskey River had egg rolls. So, thanks to all the people that came out with celebrating food. It was wonderful. It was called Foodies and Brew, and it was this past Friday. It was good. And then more food stuff. On Sunday evening, we ended the Grassroots Radio Conference with a little mini gala at Della Vita Wine Bar. So thanks to Scott from Vesuvius Pizza for...
He brought his little portable little... It was a big rig, but it is a portable wood-fired oven, and he brought it. We parked it right on Main Street. He fired that thing up, and oh, did he make some good pizza out of that. That's from Vesuvius Pizza, our local wood-fired pizza oven producer.
So there's plenty of good things to eat here. And the same time that this was going on Main Street in front of the Della Vita wine bar, where we were all having a fine time, the library here in town, three cheers for the library, Lynn Carey and all, for their human chain that passed books from the
temporary library.
They passed books all the way up across Lincoln Way, all the way down Main Street to the new library. And that was, who would think that hundreds and hundreds of people would just giggle like kids passing along these books? But
and
they
who,
did.
Who thought that people would show up, enough people to do that? They were trying to set some kind of world record, and I must say we're going to be library-less for a whole month.
Right.
But once they open up, wowzers.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
cool summer treat of the week. Have at it.
Okay, this week the recipe is for a semifreddo. So a semifreddo is not quite an ice cream, as the name semi-cold in translation suggests. There's no custard to make. You don't have to churn it in a freezer. That's the thing, is you don't really need any equipment except a freezer. You don't need an ice cream maker or anything. And it's also really easy. And what you get is a smooth, soft block of chilled, almost frozen cream with the texture of deep, deep velvetiness. It's really smooth. So the one I made, I'm not going to put the recipe up because I'm not thrilled with it yet, but I beat the egg whites, and then I beat the whipped cream, and then I put the, well, I put the, I made one that was cherries, and I put the cherries into the whipping cream first, which I shouldn't have because the juice diluted the whipping cream so much I couldn't get it to whip enough to fold into the egg whites. The flavor was delicious, but I'm going to give you a recipe from Nigella Lawson, and hers is for a honey semifreddo. So it's one large egg and four large egg yolks and 100 grams. Dear me, I forgot to translate that. Well, anyway, some quantity of honey to taste, and then another 300 milliliters of double cream. Well, when I'll translate this and put it up on the website. So basically, the main trick is you take a loaf pan and you line it with plastic wrap, and then you beat the whipped cream until it's really foamy, and then you add in and you beat the eggs and the egg yolks with the honey. And once that's kind of whipped up, but it's really the whipping of the cream, the fluffiness of the cream, then you mix the whipped cream into the egg mixture and you pour it into the mold that's been lined with the plastic wrap. Then you put it kind of covered up, put it in the freezer. You let it get cold. Then when you're ready to serve it, you kind of can set it in some warm water so that it will loosen from the loaf pan, and then you just invert it onto a plate, and you cut it into slices.
So this is along the theme of a meatloaf, but it is not a meatloaf. It is a summer treat of the week loaf.
Right. Yes, and it looks very pretty on the plate, and she suggests with the honey one garnishing it with a little extra honey and some pine nuts.
Good idea.
But I think you could make them any flavor you wanted. I thought about doing chocolate. Oh, here she says 100 grams are 7 teaspoons. So that would be – oh, tablespoons. Oopsie. Boy, this is going to be – so that would be one large egg, four large egg yolks, 100 grams is 7 tablespoons of honey. Oh, then we've got 300 milliliters. So that would be about a third of a liter, which is almost a quart. So we'll say a cup plus, a fat cup. There you go. That's precise enough for a semifreddo. They're easy to do and not, you know, it's not like baking cookies or something where you have to really pay attention to the measurement.
Thanks to Rick for the quick calculation here.
Yes, there we go.
That's good, good.
Also, save that semifreddo.
Yeah. Good. So that will be on the website. You can go to khoifm.org on the website. Look for the Donna Lana Kitchen under
Talk Shows.
Talk Shows. That's us. Bring it up. There will be recipes listed there on the right. And also there are an archives of past shows you can find there. So also, thank you to a caller who called in with a cool summer treat of the week to offer of their own.
Well, actually, I was out at a political event, okay, and somebody came up to me and said, oh, do you do the Donna Lana Kitchen Show? And I said, oh, my goodness, someone's been listening. He said, well, I heard the Jell-O Show, and I wanted to tell you our favorite family recipe that his son has loved for many years, and I assume his son has grown up now, but they make a coffee Jell-O. So they put gelatin in the coffee with... what was the alcohol?
Kahlua.
Kahlua, yes. a little bit of Kahlua. Then they, you know, they put that in the fridge, let it gel up, and then they just serve it with whipped cream. And he said that it was a recipe his mother had found in Gourmet magazine in the 70s. So let's we're into Jell-O here in Ames once again.
Coffee Jell-O sounds really good. I like coffee ice cream. Well, I'll have to give that a try. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We always can use some help. That's good. All right. So, remember the cool summer treat of the week, Semifredo, will be on our website.
Which means semi-frozen. Don't worry, but Semifredo sounds so cool.
It looks like Semifredo. Like a long-haul trucker. Very good. Yes, yes, okay. So, let's talk about elderberries. It's the season.
You know, when Lana said, oh, we're going to talk about elderberries, I thought, isn't she a little ahead of the game? And then I looked at my bush, and sure enough, they're about a third ripe already.
Right. They're not quite ripe, but you can start
thinking about
them.
I have some ripe ones, and the birds are having at it already.
Yeah. So unlike most wild fruits, the elderberry is neither hard to find nor tedious to gather. You can locate your foraging ground, and if you were Johnny on the spot, you could have noticed bushes with lovely white flowers in roadside ditches. They like to have their feet wet, but they grow pretty much anywhere. So elderberry bushes are easy to find here. Ask a friend to point one out if you haven't seen one, because right now the elderberry flowers are probably long gone. People praise elderberry flowers, the big white umbrals.
Yeah, they're so pretty. And they're grouped in a thing called an umbral, mm-hmm. which is kind of like an umbrella. I love that word, umbral.
Right,
umbral.
Right. So in our salute to the elderberry, we have to remember that you can harvest these elderberry blossoms earlier.
And we've talked about that.
Yes,
elderberry flower syrup.
Right. They have a wonderful flavor all by themselves. And there's, I found this out. If you make wine out of just the flowers or a drink out of just the flowers, it's called elderberry blow wine. B-L-O-W. Blow? I don't know where that comes from.
Well, the flowers are wonderfully delicate mm-hmm. as opposed to the flavor of the actual berries.
Right. Yes.
Not delicate.
Not delicate at all. So you can pick your berries. And one nice thing about this fruit, it comes in handfuls. Whole clusters can be picked off at once, so it only takes a few minutes to fill a large pail.
Now, when you pick them, do you cut the whole umbral off, or do you just tickle it and catch the berries?
I don't do that because I end up with black hands.
They are very, very darkly colored.
Yeah, yeah,
they're kind of cool, actually. But
I go out and take a scissors and cut off umbrella heads,
mm-hmm.
which actually has a lot of stem, mm-hmm. which leaves me a task to do when I get home, because you do not want the stems, the heavy stem that kind of makes the handle of the umbrella, and also the other stems. If you can get off as much of that stem as possible. And again, I use a scissors, holding these things upside down.
Yeah, that's
and cut,
what I
cut,
use.
Cut,
I
cut,
use
cut.
Scissors, too.
Yes, because, believe it or not, the green stems of elderberries are slightly toxic, and especially the leaves. It's not like you'd have to eat a lot and a lot of them. But don't go chewing on the leaves of elderberries, or don't go chewing on the green stems of elderberries. They contain cyanogenic compounds.
Cyanogenic. Mm.
Yeah, as in cyanide, but teeny amounts, but be careful. And actually, this has caused some problems in the past, believe it or not, because especially in the winter, the elderberry bushes have these big stems that are growing out of the ground. Elderberry bushes can get like 6-8 feet tall. People used to use the stems of elderberry in the winter, in January, to make the spiles that you collect maple syrup from. Because the
spiles, you want to define that one?
Spile is the little tap that you tap into the tree, and because the elderberry, how it is, you can take the soft,
pour it out
soft
really
centers,
easily, yeah.
You end up with a tube. This is before PVC pipe, of course. Or now they use a steel pipe, or aluminum? Something. Anyway, some mm-hmm. sort of metal piping that you tap into the trees. But they use these little things as pipes mm-hmm. for maple syrup.
So they were putting cyanide into the maple syrup.
Teeny, teeny, teeny little amounts. But yes, that wasn't so much of a problem because it's a handy little thing and it's happening in January. It's pretty well dried down. However, these same sticks, the same stems, used to be a real favorite with kids for pea shooters, whistles, that sort of thing. So it's probably not good to put those things in your mouth, although they do.
The berries themselves are – it's a wonderful old remedy for coughs and colds. They're very nutritious. They're really, really good for you. There's a whole line of health cough medicines and supplements called Sambucol, which are nothing but elderberries. They're very pricey. Make your own.
Yes. Elderberry juice made by cooking and pressing the berries is reported to have laxative as well as diuretic properties, and they're great for colds.
There you go.
Traditional herbalists such as Tommy Bass consider it a wonderful blood purifier. Research has shown that alpha and beta amarins have it treats sciatica, neuralgia, rheumatic pain, and is common for treating colds, especially in Europe. They've been
it's an old Eastern European remedy for middle of the winter.
Right.
So if you now the other thing is we haven't talked about the flavor of the elderberry.
Elderberries by itself. Mm. I think my good reference here. Yul Gibbons in his Stalking the Wild Asparagus says they taste rank, they lack acid, are not palatable fresh, and they have an eldery taste. I don't know what that
means. Well, I would just say I think they taste very metallic.
Yes.
And when I'm putting up elderberry juice, which I do because I have some big bushes in my backyard and I know it's medicinal value, in the middle of the winter you're, you know, making elderberry hot toddies and things like that. I always put something acidic in it, like either blueberries or plums. Mm-hmm. You know, if you pair it with another fruit and then freeze it, at least that's how I suppose you could can it as well. But I tend to press the juices out of the fruit and then freeze them.
Right. A little sugar and especially adding a little acid. And right about now, as you are finding elderberries, not about right about now, in a few weeks as elderberries are going to be ripe. Also, wild grapes are ripe, and also crab apples are ripe.
Crab apples would be great with elderberries, and
you can just kind of throw it right in. Especially the wild grapes can be cooked right down. So that's a good addition.
Well, that's a good way to get rid of the crab apples too. I never, you know, there's only so many crab apples you can eat.
Crab apple and elderberry jelly is a real good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do something with the elderberries, they turn into a real
A really pretty jelly because if you're diluting them with apple or something like that, it lightens up the color to really nice little garnety purple color.
Yes. For a little fancier, if you want to get fancy here with your elderberries, you can make something called elderberry rob, R-O-B. So that's elderberry juice cooked with cloves, nutmeg, cinnamon. You boil that for a while, and then add, for each quart, add a heaping cup of sugar and boil a few more, and then you can seal that in a jar.
Oof, that sounds like a lot of sugar to me.
Well, you don't have to. That's a suggestion. But the idea of putting nutmeg, cloves, cinnamon.
Yeah, I think the idea is anything to cover the flavor.
Everything to cover the flavor.
Get the a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
That's it. And then you could actually serve it with other things like fruit juice or a spritzer or something like that. So elderberries are
it's a coming, folks.
And we are. We have lots. We have lots. It's possible for many products of elderberry to add richness to your life, according to Yul Gibbons. Throughout the year, in the future, let's show more appreciation for this common shrub which stands at the roadside, freely offering food, drink, medicine, and beauty. It would be churlish indeed to refuse such a graciously offered gift.
It's true. And here in Central Iowa, we really have an abundance of elderberries. People do make elderberry wine. I have not done such, but I think the grannies used to drink it as a medicinal excuse.
Oh, well, a little bit. Sounds good to me. And remember, they probably all had bad colds at the time.
Yeah, it's really good for you, you know.
Good.
It's just really good for you.
Good. I want to remind you, this is KHOI Radio. You can find us and archives and archives of past shows and recipes on khoifm.org. Oh, and again, celebrate, because KHOI is now streaming. It's now streaming.
Can be heard anywhere that streaming can come now.
Right, right.
California, the Pacific Northwest, Alaska.
We'll get ideas from all over. I can just say, if you want to contact us, you can contact us here at the studio. You can email us, khoiradio@gmail.org. Oh, by the way, does anybody have a good dill pickle recipe out there? You can email that in. I'd appreciate some input.
Yeah, we're going to be pickling soon.
We'll be pickling soon.
We'll be in a pickle.
Let's listen to a little music here called Ladybug Lightning. Back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Radio. You've been listening to some real fine music, some Iowa-grown music. This last piece was called Ladybug Lightning and written and played by fiddler Eric Sessions. And he's actually a farmer over in Decorah. He has his own CSA over there, but he's also part of a contra dance band. And he writes great music, and he's a great fiddler. The music you heard before, the one I called it was called Loaves and Fishes and Too Many Goats, was written by another band member who writes tons and tons of good stuff. And his name is John Gooden. He's also part of the contra dance band called Contratopia, and they're both in the Decorah area. Okay, so there's good music all around. Today we're going to be talking also about something that Donna got me into. I didn't know about this.
Yeah, we did an experiment.
This is an experiment. That's our job. This is tell us what you found out, Donna.
Well, I read a lot of food blogs and food this and food that, and a name of a company kept popping up called Plated, P-L-A-T-E-D, and what it is yet again another way to try to get food without going to the grocery store. It's called a food subscription service. And so, you know, I kind of was reading about it, and I typed it in thinking, oh, no, it's, you know, nothing ever can come to Iowa. You know, it's usually a big urban thing. And as a matter of fact, they do deliver to Iowa.
They deliver to Iowa?
Yes. They must use, you know, overnight FedEx or something like that. So I ordered the free introductory. It was not free, but the introductory two sets of meals. And Lana prepared one, and I did, and they did, and they arrived in a little box. You open the cardboard box, and it's, you know, got the usual liner to keep the temperature in and some ice packs and stuff. But you open the box, and on the flap of the box, the first thing you see, it says, "This is your moment of glory." These people really have their packaging down, let me tell you.
Well, so, that's probably good. I bet they're encouraging people to cook. That's a good idea.
That's what I thought. It can't be all bad, because some of the benefits of the service are they send you the complete recipe for two people. And it's pre-portioned. So it's not cooked. The ingredients are pre-portioned. So you are actually cooking it at home, so you know exactly what's in it. You've got a recipe that has obviously been tested, and you've got all the ingredients in the appropriate amounts. So you don't have to run out to the store and buy some exotic spice that you may never use again. You know, they will send you a thimbleful in a little package with its name on it. So we got two different meals, and I picked I never can say it. I think it's banh mi or banh mi or something. It's the Vietnamese meatloaf, meatballs. Mm-hmm. And so, it sent the package of pork. It sent, and it was with a shallot jam. So you mix, and it came with, a few sprigs of basil, a few sprigs of mint, some scallions, the shallot, the bread for the banh mi, and a small package of sriracha pepper, a small package of mayonnaise. So mine was, and it was quite delicious. You mix the meat with some of the chopped herbs, and then you just bake them in the oven. And while you were doing that, you made the shallot jam, which was quite easy. You just olive oil and salt and pepper, the only things they don't include. So this one was to just cook up the shallots and put a little sugar on it. That made the shallot jam. And then you just open the package of mayonnaise and the sriracha pepper. You mix those together. And, oh, it even had a little package of already grated carrots. So you heat the bun up. You cut it in half. You put the meatball. No, you spread the sriracha mayonnaise on it. You put the meatballs on it. You sprinkle the herbs on it and the carrots. And then
were the meatballs already cooked?
No, you have to cook them. That was the first thing. But it's broken down into steps. So, and it was delicious. It really was. And what did you have in your meal?
Well, I want to mention that you gave me this package of stuff, and it, being a visual person here, it not only has the recipe, it has pictures.
For how to cut it.
How to do it.
It's teaching you how to cook. It's giving you the ingredients that you might not otherwise. Like, I picked the Vietnamese sandwich because I had actually never cooked that.
Right. So it's here right in front of you. Mm-hmm. I tried the pan-fried redfish with salsa verde, radish, and fennel. And like Donna said, everything came, even a little 3/4 teaspoon of salt in a little plastic bag sugar.
Sugar. Mine had a little package of sugar in it,
just
too.
Just marked sugar, okay. Mm-hmm. That's, and a little teeny... A teaspoon of, vinegar. Yeah, sherry vinegar.
Sherry vinegar in a little bottle. That's right.
Everything was there. And you could lay it all out and follow the recipe. It was actually, if you've never cooked anything, you could do this. This was fine. It told you how to do everything. It sort of drove me crazy because I don't cook this way.
Right. We don't like to follow the recipe. We like to make it up. But for other people, I think it's a really good idea.
Because there was a tossed vegetable salad here to go with the fish. And as I'm tossing, I realize, well, hey, I've got some fresh cucumbers. And I just automatically opened my refrigerator and added some other things.
I have to say I cheated, too. I added more shallots because I had them, and I thought, oh, this sounds really good. I think I'll do it that way.
And also, I was cooking the salsa verde. Beautiful, two beautiful, huge tomatillas came in this thing. But they also sent along a jalapeno pepper, which, as I tasted it, I thought was a bit wimpy, so I added one of my own.
Well, again, gigantic pepper.
It was lovely. I was throwing things in. And also, I was interested to cook this because I wanted to compare it to, speaking of having food delivered to your door, my good neighbor Steve has a cabin up in Minnesota, and he dropped off some of his freshly caught or very recently caught bluegill, and I enjoyed fish delivered to my door that way, too.
Now, so, that is a summer Midwestern classic.
So I compared that, and I thought, well, certainly the stuff that came in the box is, where in the world did that fish come?
What is that
and
fish?
So I didn't know, and way at the bottom.
I don't know what redfish is, actually.
I didn't either. It was redfish, and way at the bottom, actually on a very soggy piece of paper that I got out, it said, "Sea to Table. Connecting fishermen with chefs, lovingly packed for plated." This is redfish from...
Oh, it's a little map that shows where the fish came from.
A little map. It's pointing to the south end of Massachusetts. Wild caught, then packed fresh in Palmer Island, Massachusetts, USA. Sea to Table partners with local fishermen from Ball Scale Sustainable Wild Fisheries and does all this stuff to get it to your communities across America. So it did tell me where my fish were coming from, and it was a good meal. It was fine,
even if I
cheated a little bit. Yeah. And also it said on this recipe that you're supposed to take a picture of your plate and put it on the plated YouTube thing because
you're supposed to Twitter it.
Twitter it.
I like to say twit it.
Anyway. And it was, mine was an extremely generous serving. It said serves two people, preparing time 30 to 40 minutes, 490 calories per serving. And it was very, very generous. And
well, I thought it was a sociological experiment for people who don't live in Iowa and, have fast urban lives, that this still gives you a measure of the satisfactions of cooking without all the time consuming not that I enjoy the shopping part because mostly we shop with our farmer friends, but for people who don't have the luxury of that, as we do, this might be a good way to teach people to cook and to encourage them to have home food.
Yes, and it does come with pictures. There's more. This company that did this was called Plated, but I assume there are other services.
There are some more. I read about another one.
This is America. There must be more.
There's another one called the Blue Apron, and they were kind of rating all of them. And we didn't tell you, it was $20 in shipping for the four meals. And this was sort of the introductory offer where you just pay the shipping and they send you the meals. But the meals by themselves are, was it $15 per person or per portion? I guess it would have been $15 for two. Mm-hmm. So that's not terrible. Or you can do a subscription, cuts the price down a lot. We're not recommending that people in Ames go out and do this, but it is kind of interesting what has come to in this culture to get food on the table.
Yes. And so here's a service for those.
And it is not local food, believe me. It's either coming from, it's dispatched from either Miami or New York.
Yeah, for this plated service. Uh-huh. You also found one in, what was it, San Francisco?
Oh, yeah, there's a new one in San Francisco from one of the chefs that used to be the Google chef. It's called Sprig. It's a service where it's on an app. You get the app, right? And then you can go on the app, pick out what you want, and within 30 minutes, they've delivered a hot meal to you that's supposed to be all organic.
Well, see? So everybody can eat well. That's good. So that was our plated experience.
Right. No excuse for not eating well these days.
Yeah, I want to mention some upcoming things here. Wheatsfield's birthday, Wheatsfield Co-op's 40th birthday in Ames. Is happening on the 23rd, and Donalana Kitchen will be there. So stop by and say hello.
Yeah, we'll be having some free tastings of La Quercia and a few other good Iowa companies.
Oh, yay. We'll go out with some more music from Contratopia. And also, remind you, the Central Iowa Barn Dance is also meeting on Saturday evening on the 23rd. Go to Central Iowa Barn Dance, CIB.org. Remember to listen to the Donalana Kitchen Tuesday at noon, repeat at 7 p.m. Hook your friends on community radio. Listen to yourself and tell others. This is Lana Nachtigal.
And Donna Prisgintas.
With Rick Morrison providing all sorts of helpful advice and great engineering.
Hello.
So, yes. So, laugh, dance, eat good food, enjoy life.